God, we just we ask that you take us, Lord. Take all of us, Lord. We sacrifice everything that we have, Lord. When we think about the salvation that you have provided for us, the gift of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And though we may not deserve it, you still love us, and you still offer it to us, Lord. And we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. Take us, take us, take all of us, Lord. Everything that we have, Lord. For you are the glory. For you be worthy, be praised. We bless your name, and we thank you so much. In your name, amen. Please be seated.
Can you hear me? Perfect. Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come to you to worship. We come to you this morning to offer our lives to you, Father. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, O Lord, we pray that you will take our thanksgiving, receive our thanks to you, for you have blessed us so much, Father. We acknowledge you and we worship you. We bow before you this morning. Give us humble hearts, O Lord, as we hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, no doubt Thanksgiving is here. Thanksgiving is celebrated, as you know, both by Christians and non-Christians. All people should be thankful. But for us believers, it is a reminder for us to thank our Lord God for his abundant grace and blessing to us. James reminds us all good things, all good gifts comes from heaven. Well, what is Thanksgiving all about? Is that other thing working? Certainly we have been reminded that this is the Thanksgiving season. If you look around the stores, we see the typical Thanksgiving decorations, the orange, yellow leaves and the pumpkins. Some of you may be looking forward to that pumpkin pie, perhaps. On the other hand, if you look around these stores, see all these Christmas decorations, you think, hey, is Christmas here already? Isn't it right? You know, when I was growing up just a few years back, that there was an unwritten rule among the merchants and stores that they would not put up Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. Anyone remember those days? Maybe Carl? Yes. But today, we see merchants put up Christmas stuff even before Halloween. I remember back in mid-September, I was at Costco. I already see them putting up their Christmas trees and decorations. Seems to me that we have merged Thanksgiving and Christmas together into the so-called holiday seasons. Because of political correctness, we've been conditioned to say Happy Holiday, right, and not Merry Christmas. We just seem to move from Thanksgiving to Christmas with no separations in between. So what are we supposed to do? So we join the rest of the world, combine Thanksgiving and Christmas together and celebrate it as one event. We can even call it Thanksgiving. By doing that, that would be one less holiday to worry about, one less holiday dinner to go to, less calorie, less cholesterol, less weight gain, perhaps. You know, somebody actually reported that every year during the holiday seasons, America gained, guess what, 1.1 billion pounds during the holiday seasons. Now, I don't know how true this figure is, but somebody actually reported that. So if we merge two holidays together, it makes sense. Less applications. Less food to eat. The question is, should we separate Christmas and Thanksgiving and keep it a separate holidays? Well, let me make a case this morning, a biblical case, that we should combine Thanksgiving and Christmas. I see a strong connection between Thanksgiving and Christmas. The two are intimately and spiritually related. Christmas, of course, is one of the reasons for Thanksgiving. So it is appropriate for us to jumpstart Christmas with Thanksgiving. Don't let the merchants have all the funds, right? Of course, they're there to add more shopping days and make more money. But we as Christians should begin our Christmas with Thanksgiving. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in one single verse, making this connection between Christmas and Thanksgiving. So my title this morning is From Thanksgiving to Christmas. I have chosen the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts." The old King James and Revised Standard, which I read, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gifts." Oh, that thing's out again. Sorry. I chosen to paraphrase the message from Eugene Peterson. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. The Living Bible says, thanks God for his son, his gift, too wonderful for words. So this verse begins with Thanksgiving and ends with Christmas. Do you see the connection, brothers and sisters? See the first four words, thanks be to God. That's Thanksgiving, isn't it? The last three words, indescribable gifts. That's Christmas. The word for is a connecting word, connecting Christmas and Thanksgiving. So that's my sermon. Wow, not really. Christmas doesn't come that early. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, brother and sister, I'd like for us to consider three questions. The idea of thanking and giving. So this is what Thanksgiving is all about. And this is what Christmas is all about. So this morning, I'd like for us to consider three questions. Who is the thankful person? What is the indescribable gift? And who is the gift giver? So first of all, who is the thankful person? Thanks be to God. To have Thanksgiving, there must be a thankful person. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving, what kind of thankful people are we? What kind of thankful people are we? Are we counting our blessings? An old hymn that I used to sing when I was small, count your blessings and name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Is it counting and recounting the blessings of God in our lives. So in this passage, there is a thankful person. And this thankful person is Apostle Paul. He's the one that wrote these words. Thanks be unto God. So it was Paul in this passage thanking God for his heritage, for his education, his salvation, of course, the calling to be the apostle to the Gentiles. As you know, Paul was probably the most important, the greatest missionaries of all time. Paul was a Jew from the proud tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the tribe that gave them Israel, their first king. In fact, Paul was named after King Saul. His name was Saul, as you know, before Paul. He was a Roman citizen. In those days, Roman citizenship were highly prized. People pay a lot to gain a Roman citizenship. So in a sense, Paul had dual citizenship. He actually bridged the Roman world, the Roman culture, and his Jewish heritage. Paul was deeply religious, came from a long religious tradition. Paul himself said, I'm a Pharisee and a son of a Pharisee. So as a Pharisee, Paul was well educated in the law. He studied under Gamaliel, a most noted rabbi of his day. He was highly achieved. He was very zealous for his Jewish faith, right? He persecuted the church. In fact, he was there when Stephen was martyred. Paul was religious, but he was spiritually lost. He knew the law, but he did not know the Lord and the Savior. So one day on the road to Damascus, you know, he met the Savior and he was saved. His life was changed forever. Saul became Paul. God changed Paul from the persecutor of the church to a most powerful preacher for the church. He moved from religious or the religion of work to faith through grace. Paul was thankful for his heritage, his education, his upbringing. He experienced miraculous grace of God. So for these many blessings, Apostle Paul thanked God. Thanks be to God, he says. But as you know, Paul's life was not always smooth, right? A hunky-dory when I was growing up. He had difficult times. Remember, Paul was in prison many times. He was ultimately killed and martyred for his faith. Let me just read what Paul says about his own life. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concerning all the churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So in spite of his hardship, Paul was thankful. Thanks be unto God, he says. So in all these things, both good and bad, in the rain or in sunshine, Paul was a thankful person. So if you read Paul's writing throughout, he said many, many times, I thank my God. Paul, of course, he taught the church to be thankful. One example, rejoice always, pray without ceasing what? In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. See, Paul says to be thankful is God's will. It's God's command for us Christians to be thankful. So in this passage today, Paul writes, thanks be unto God. So this instruction to be thankful is given from a very thankful person to all of us. That we also should be thankful people. You and me this morning. Paul was thankful because of the grace of God. Just like Paul, many of us are saved. Why? Because of the grace of God, isn't it? For some of us, God may have changed your life dramatically for the better. I often picture in my mind, what happened if I did not know the Lord? Our lives probably would be very different if we not had met the Lord. For some, God may have protected you from making shipwrecks of your life. For many of us, God has given us a fine education. Is that right? Many of you are enjoying good jobs. That's a blessing of God. Like Paul, many of us are bicultural, right? Some of our parents are from the East. And you grew up in the West. You have the benefit. You enjoy the wisdom of both East and West. Some of you may have even dual citizenship, just like Paul. That is a blessing. So we must be thankful people. God also has given each one of us a ministry to serve in the church, to teach Sunday school, to serve in the worship team. All of us are given this privilege to proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ crucified, just like what Paul says. So you and I also have many thankful reasons to thank God. Just like Paul, many of us also may have faced adverse circumstances of life. God also has protected us and helped us go through the difficult times of life. If this is the case, brothers and sisters, shouldn't we be also thankful people like Apostle Paul? We ought to be thank God for good times as well as the bad times, in plenty and in want. Remember, to have a thanksgiving requires a thankful person. So may all of us, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, that we learn once again to become thankful people. Not only on this Thanksgiving season, but certainly every day of our lives. Secondly, what is this indescribable gift? Paul said, thank God, thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. So first of all, what is this gift that Paul is talking about? Why is it so indescribable? In fact, it's beyond description, right? It is so fantastic, this gift, that we cannot put it into words. Some translation says it is inexpressible. It is unspeakable. In a word, this gift, or whatever this gift is no ordinary gift. It's a very special gift. It's a very unique, one-of-a-kind gift. I know Christmas is coming. I suspect some of you are already thinking about buying gifts for your loved ones. You may be even thinking to buy someone special to a very unique, one-of-a-kind gift. Maybe you too are thinking of an indescribable gift, so precious that recipient will remember it forever. So what is this indescribable gift? Well, before we consider this question, let me ask you, what do you consider the best gifts that you can receive? What do you consider the best gifts that you can buy for your loved ones. Think about that. Ladies, maybe something sentimental value, or sentimental value, right? Doesn't have to be expensive, but something memorable, right? Guys, we want something useful. Is that right? A good gift got to be useful. Well, let me tell you guys, I know a vacuum cleaner is useful. But for heaven's sake, don't buy a vacuum cleaner for your wife for Christmas presents, okay? Perhaps a good gift is a gift that can last for a long time. Isn't that a good gift? Or maybe a gift that you can open every day? Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what God gave us. This indescribable gift is the gift that can last forever. No expiration date. Long shelf life. This gift, of course, is a gift of eternal life. Not something for this earth, but this gift that God has given you, this indescribable gift, is a gift of eternal life. Apostle Paul writes in Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but what? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this gift, Apostle Paul writing here, is the eternal life that God has promised us. As you know, this gift was first delivered on the Christmas day, right? A baby gift wrap in swaddling cloth, laying in a manger, a special star appeared in the sky to announce his birth. Angels were singing. The shepherds of the field were celebrating of this gift. As I said earlier, a good gift is a gift that you can open every day. But this gift, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a gift that can keep on giving. Is that right? This baby grew up as a promised Messiah. Jesus healed. Jesus touched many lives in his days. And he continued to heal and touch your life and my life today. What a gift, isn't it? No wonder Paul said, it is so unspeakable, undescribable. Later, this unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins. He rose on the third day. So this gift of God was made possible by the birth of Jesus Christ, but also his death and also his resurrection. This gift, yes, was first found in the manger. But we can also find this gift on the cross. And praise God, this gift is not buried in the tomb, right? On the third day, the scripture says, according to the scripture, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This gift was made glorious because of the resurrection. That empty tomb is a testimony of this unspeakable gift. The gift of eternity. The gift of eternal life. Guaranteed by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and receiving him into your heart in a personal way, you will receive this gift immediately. That's what the Bible promises. It's better than the Amazon Prime. Next day delivery. When you receive this gift, you receive it right away. Today, you can also receive this inexpressible gift of God. Perhaps some of you have been invited to church this morning because it's Thanksgiving Sunday, if you do not know the Lord, may I encourage you, this gift is here. You can receive it this morning. If you not say, I do not know how, talk to your pastor, the elders, and the deacons. How you can receive this gift. The Bible says you can simply receive this gift by your faith, by the faith, and through His grace. Furthermore, this gift can be opened every day, as I mentioned earlier. That's a good kind of gift. And Jesus Christ promises that He is with us every day. When we're in trouble, you can go to Him. You can open up this gift. When you're in need, you can open up this gift. Paul said this gift is inexpressible, unspeakable. No word can possibly describe such gift, such love. As you know, the biblical writers had to find a rare word in the Greek, agape, to differentiate this gift, this kind of love, from the common love. Paul said, this gift is beyond human description. It is too wonderful for words. So what should we do with this inexpressible gift? What did Paul do with this gift? He did not keep it to himself. After Paul received this gift, he kept on giving this gift. He was proclaiming this message of the gospel, this gift, so other people can enjoy this gift. In fact, Apostle Paul gave his whole life to this cause. Paul's thankful heart made him a powerful witness of this gift. He preached his gift in spite of hardship, in spite of persecution. Many of us have this gift in us. Many of us have received this gift. What should we do with this gift, brothers and sisters? We can learn from Apostle Paul. We too can be a witness, can be a proclaimer that this gift is here already for all who come to our faith. So if there's thanksgiving, there must be a thankful person. If there is a gift, there must be a giver. Is that right? Let me quickly go over the next point. Who is the giver? Earlier I mentioned James. For every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Again, this gift is eternal life. Apostle Paul described this as a free gift. Romans 3:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So this gift of eternal life is free, Apostle Paul writes. And who is the giver? The giver is God Himself. In fact, God is a common denominator between Thanksgiving and Christmas. God is the ultimate reason for our Thanksgiving and the very reason for Christmas. Even the world says that Christ is a reason for the season. You heard it that many times. Christ is the reason for this season. So let us learn to cherish both the giver and the gift, because both are truly indescribable and too wonderful for words. Let me then summarize this message from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Paul writes, thanks be to God for His indescribable gifts. So it is biblical to express gratitude from Thanksgiving to Christmas. We are thankful because of the gift of God's only Son. We have reasons to be thankful. If we have no reason to be thankful, brothers and sisters, then we have not lived that at all. The fact that we're alive, we have reasons to be thankful. John Maxwell. The instant we're born, we already owe our mother 9 months of room and board. And he went on to say, we can never really repay this debt. Brothers and sisters, I contend that all of us carry many debts to others that we cannot possibly repay. But all of us can express our gratitude. And our gratitude can pass on to other people. Brothers and sisters, Thanksgiving is more than just a holiday with all the turkey trimming. Thanksgiving is an attitude, a way of life, is a disposition of the heart. As we remember God as a giver, we truly need to reflect on His gift. We too should be thankful people and learn to be giver as well, like Apostle Paul. You know, we typically think of Christmas as time to give, right? But Thanksgiving is also giving. It's thanksgiving. Giving to others is a way for us to express our thankfulness to God. So in this Thanksgiving, maybe we can think about what can we give as our way of expressing our gratitude to God. We can begin our Thanksgiving celebration by thanking God and His indescribable gift of eternal life. Like Apostle Paul, we can be thankful continuously and let the good news of the gospel be spread, be told, from Thanksgiving to Christmas and beyond. Let's pray. Father, we indeed thank You for this gift that we do not even deserve, O Lord, but You have given to us freely. We thank You. Oh, Lord, may we cherish this gift in our personal lives. Oh, Lord, teach us to be thankful and proclaim this gift to the world who so badly need the gift of eternal life, the gift of peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
As we reflect upon the message of the gift of salvation and blessings, we have a response song to that, but just a little bit different than we've normally done. Instead of standing as we always do and sing, I'd like for you to kind of reflect as an extension of the message about, you know, what has God blessed you with? And as we enter this time of Thanksgiving, in what ways are you thankful? In what ways can we return that, the blessings that God has given us, to others around us? And I think about this song that we're going to sing and the gift of salvation that He has provided for us, sent of heaven God's own Son to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed Him to that tree. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son set free. Oh, it's free indeed. That rugged cross, my salvation, where Your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto Thee. And as we sing this song, feel free to sing with us. If you don't want to, that's fine. But let's take this time of just continued meditation on the words of what Pastor Mike has shared with us, and then the song about salvation and the blessings that God has provided for us and how thankful God has provided for us in our lives. So,
of sorrows, Lamb of God, by His own betrayed, the sin of men and wrath of been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. And oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor on to thee. And sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. And oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor on to thee. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor on to thee. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. And hallelujah, God be praised, he's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor on to thee. Praise and honor on to thee. Praise and honor on to thee.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are.
God, that has the gift of life for us. Lord, you are such an awesome and wonderful God. We just thank you so much for your blessings. We just thank you for your faithfulness and how you have been with us through the best of times in our lives, the worst of our times, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your Son that you sent to die for each one of us so that we may have that gift of life, the gift that we can open every single day. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love. May you use each one of us to be able to share that love with others as we enter this time of Thanksgiving, as we enter this time of reflection of the birth of your Son and the Christmas season, Lord. We just thank you so much for everything you have done for us. And we lift this time up in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. And as some of you guys may remember, starting a few months ago, once a month, we started highlighting a ministry. And I believe last week it was the women's ministry. And also once a month, we have a testimony. This month, we're going to ask Colette if you can come on up here and do a brief sharing for us.
Hi, my name is Colette. I'm a junior at Mercer Island High School, and I recently got baptized. I've been going to this church for around 3 years now, and it's been incredible to be a part of this community. My journey with Christ started practically since I was born because my parents are also Christian, so I've always been going to like Sunday school and different services. But Christianity wasn't really always the most popular religion from where I was growing up, so I wasn't always super open or deep about my faith. And going into middle school, my parents started getting increasingly busy, so we stopped going to church for a while. So that definitely had a detrimental effect on my relationship with God. But during seventh grade, there was a New Year's party for a family friend, and someone shared that their New Year's resolution was to get closer to God. So that really inspired me to start going to church again and start growing my relationship. And that following week, I decided to go to church with a friend, and it happened to be SKC. And after going to many youth retreats and camps and services, I decided that I really wanted to rekindle that connection again. So I wanted to really just finalize that decision with baptism. And since that baptism, I felt a lot closer with God, and I'm super excited to see where He takes me in my future. And I'm incredibly thankful for this church for allowing me to have that opportunity. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Colette. So just a few brief announcements this morning. First of all, immediately after the worship, there will be some snacks and coffee over at the fellowship hall. Please join us there for a time of fellowship. Then the Sunday school starts for both the adult and the high school kids, and it's joined now at the fellowship hall, and we are now going through the book of Revelations. Pastor Jim is going to come up and give us an update on Operation Christmas Child.
Was it 2 weeks ago we had our food bazaar? Was it 2 weeks ago? Only 2 weeks. And so wanted to thank you all for supporting that. We raised over $3,000 from that the fundraiser. Originally, when we set out to do Operation Christmas Child, we had $5,000 as our goal. And you know, we raised $3,000 from that food bazaar, and I was like, oh, I don't think we're gonna make the $2,000 difference, right? And so in my mind, honestly, I really doubted we were going to hit our goal of $5,000. And I said, if we get $4,000, I think we'll be pretty lucky. And thankfully, I was very wrong. We ended up raising over $6,000. $6,000, so $1,000 above our target. And so praise God and thank you all. And with that money, could you pass me that? So originally, we were only going to have 100 of these, and we ended up making enough to make 100 of those and 50 of these bigger boxes filled with toys, school supplies, and hygiene products, and send all 150 children to Samaritan's Purse has a 12-week-long discipleship course where the children will, you know, learn about the Bible, hear the gospel for 12 weeks. This is something that they probably never would have been able to do, and receive a Bible from the missionaries. And so that's pretty awesome. You know, along with the shipping costs, we also got to be able to send the children to that. So thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your generosity. One last thing about Operation Christmas Child. So we have 150 shoeboxes to make. We did a little bit of organization, purchasing and all these things all week long, Ivana, Jackie, Jacob, and Andrew and I. And so we have a bunch of stuff just sitting around needing to be organized and packed. So if you have time after the Sunday school hour at 12:30, inviting you to join us in the fellowship hall. Last year it was kind of crazy. It was hectic, but this year I think we're a little bit more organized, and so but we still need your help. So if you are available, please come and help us at 12:30 in the fellowship hall. So thank you. I just wanted to update you, and let's praise God together. So as we take some time for reflection, would you pray with me for these shoeboxes, the children that will receive them, and just the gospel, that they would receive the gospel as well. Father, indeed, thank you for your indescribable gift of your Son, because you so love the world, Lord, and you love each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for these shoeboxes as they go to 150 children out in the third world countries, that these 150 children will feel your love, that they will be able to attend this 12-week-long discipleship course and hear your word and your gospel, receive your scriptures, and that they will kindle within them a desire for a relationship with you. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of being able to partner with a Samaritan person doing this. And Lord, we do pray for the children, that they will really be able to see and feel your love this Christmas. So thank you, Lord, and I pray that we also will continue to pray for them and continue to find ways where we can spread your word. So thank you, God. You are indeed worthy of thanksgiving. Now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. We're dismissed.
So if it's possible, if we can get some people to move everything from the church office to the fellowship hall before Sunday school starts. No? No time? Just kidding. But just know that we will need to move them over eventually. So thanks.